Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll continue to listen each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. We cordially invite you to check us out. These MP3 files will have all the radio programs. We also have Bible videos, 30 minutes in length, on a variety of topics, and a host of other Bible-related material to help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and we cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. We want to help you see the need for God in your life and you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been looking and examining the bread of life. We're now at the point of we want to examine the naming of Jesus and His presentation in the temple. In keeping with the requirements of the law of Moses, Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. It was customary for the child to receive his name at that time of his circumcision, and Jesus received his name as the angel had instructed Joseph. Leviticus 12, as well as Exodus 13 and verse number 2, help us to understand what took place after several days. After the period of purification prescribed by the law, 40 days for a male child, 80 days for a female, and in accordance with the dedication of the firstborn to the Lord, Mary fulfilled the rules of ceremonial law and brought the child to the temple for presentation. Being of lowly circumstances, Mary and Joseph did not offer a lamb and a pigeon, but a pair of turtle doves or young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, according to the law. In Jerusalem there lived a man named Simeon. He was described as righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now we want to read in Luke chapter number 2, we're going to read beginning in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he came by Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and said, "Blessed God," and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were being spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined to fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now, in this prophecy to Simeon, we see that he was revealed that he would not taste death until he saw the Christ. It had been revealed to him, and indeed the Holy Spirit led Simon to the temple at the exact time. Seeing Jesus, Simon took him in his arms, prayed God, and acknowledged that the promise made to him had been fulfilled. He would now die, for he had seen the Lord's Christ. But we want to look particularly at verse 31, which we see the inclusion of the Gentiles. This would be one of the most difficult things for the Jews to accept, that Jesus was also a remedy for the Gentiles, not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. God intended to redeem all men through this one called Jesus. What did Simeon mean when he said, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed"? While aware that others take a different view, I believe it simply means that with the coming of Jesus, Many, by their reaction to him, would be saved. Others, by their rejection of him, would be lost. But it would be their decision. Most assuredly, Jesus was a sign to be opposed. This brings to mind Isaiah 53, verse 3. Think of the anguish Mary would feel as the public ministry of Jesus comes to a close. Think of the pain Mary would experience as she stood and watched him hang on the cross. Yet through that very act, the true character of so many would be revealed in their hatred for righteousness and holiness, culminated in the death of Jesus the Christ. There was yet another person in the temple who would acknowledge the position of the child. It was Anna, described as a prophetess, and of the tribe of Asher, a woman of great age. The tribe of Asher was one of the 10 northern tribes that through exile and intermarriage at the time of the Assyrian captivity had all but disappeared. Some individuals, such as Anna, were able to trace their genealogy back to that tribe. Anna remained in the temple. It is apparent that by inspiration Anna knew who Jesus was and spoke to all who would listen to her. We read her account in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And the woman was now a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him and to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and to their own city, Nazareth. And so now we see that there have been two people that have confirmed that this birth is the birth of the promised son, of the Messiah and the Son of God. We have Simeon and we have Anna. Now in chapter 2 of Matthew, beginning in verse 1, the Magi, they come to see Jesus. It appears evident that the visit of the Magi took place after the presentation of the Lord in the temple. When they left, Joseph was told to take the child from his mother to Egypt. The ideal of the Magi coming to Jesus on January the 6th is what is called the Epiphany, is completely without any biblical foundation whatsoever. Jesus was born in the days of Herod the king. Only Herod the Great and Herod Agrippa, too, held the legal title of king. Herod Agrippa reigned from AD 48 to 100, thus eliminating him from consideration. The Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. The Magi were learned men of the eastern nation, primarily from Persia and Arabia. They were devoted to the study of astronomy, religion, and medicine. The Magi made the purpose of their journey clear in Jerusalem. They had come searching for the newly born king of the Jews. They had seen his star and had come to pay homage to him. It is apparent that at this time there was a prevalent expectation in the east that some remarkable personage was to appear in Judea. There were Jews living in all parts known to the world as they spread, and they took the expectation of the Messiah with them. Two Roman historians, Suetonius and Tacitus, mentioned that expectation in their writings. Herod's reaction to the visit of the Magi and their purpose is not surprising. He had already executed several of his relatives that he viewed as possible threats to the throne. The news agitated Herod as yet another possible usurper to the throne was born. So he gathered together the chief priests and the scribes to inquire where they looked for the Christ to be born. The answer was Bethlehem of Judea, based upon Micah 5 and verse 2. The next step Herod took was to eliminate the perceived threat, that was to summon the Magi privately and ask about the child and the time of his appearance of the star. He was trying to determine the age of the child. He sent the Magi to Bethlehem, asking him to return with him after finding the child so he might come and worship him as well. The star guided the Magi to the exact location of Jesus when they entered into the place where Jesus and his parents were staying. They fell down and offered homage to him, along with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frankincense was a fragrant gum of a tree, obtained by cutting the bark. Myrrh was also came from the trees and was usually chiefly in the embalming of the dead. To foil the murderous plans of Herod, the Magi were warned in a dream not to return to him, and so they departed to their country by a different route. Now, in all of these matters that we are looking at here, we see that the plans of God are unfolding. There are three things that we need to understand that stand out here. Number one, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He was born in the days of Herod the king, and the Magi came from the east. Now, those three facts are important because they give us time frame. The Magi, the wise men, did not go to see Jesus in the manger. They saw him in a home months later. He may have been up to 6 months, 8 months old. This is after he's presented in the temple, and we have the audience, and we have the confirmation by Simeon and by Anna. And so here, all these things are being confirmed, that prophecy is being fulfilled when Jesus is presented in the temple. All this is to confirm and validate that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the one sent by God. He is the Redeemer of Israel, and he's the Redeemer of all men. And Simeon points that out, that he is going to touch many, that he was sent for all men for redemption. And so again, this would be a difficult contemplation for the Jews, for they thought they were God's chosen nation, a chosen race, a chosen people, and God was peculiar to them, and he was their God, and they despised and looked down upon the Gentiles. But Simeon reminds us that it was always in God's plan to save all men. And all the things that are being done, as we read in Luke's account and Matthew's account, is to fulfill and to validate that they are keeping the law, and Mary and Joseph are doing exactly what the law it prescribes for them to do in the birth of a child, in bringing it to the temple. And in bringing it to the temple, we have confirmation by Simeon and also by Anna that this is the Christ, that this is the Son of God. Both of them give evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent by God. And we are in the right time period. And Herod is going his foil to try to destroy the child because he saw him as a threat in order to his throne, which he never was, because Jesus did not come to establish an earthly kingdom, and nor was that ever in God's eternal plan to have an earthly kingdom. But Herod was very suspicious, and he sent the Magi to find out where he was at, under the pretense of wanting to worship him. But he wanted to know where he was at so he could kill him. And he would take other steps when the Magi was divinely warned not to go back to him, not to reveal the place of the child. And we're going to see also the angel will tell Joseph and Mary to leave. And we'll look at that the next time we come together, because they will be told to go into Egypt and flee from Herod because he seeks to harm the child. He seeks to kill the child, and he's even going to make an edict in order to try to get that accomplished, that Jesus could even be killed before he could begin his work. And we're going to see that that's going to be foiled, and Jesus is going to continue. Please turn it again.